Afraid to even say he knew the Christ. Whatever the case, his opinion is strong, and therefore he wants Christ to prove it to him, and he doesn't believe it's going to happen. He doubts the apostles. He thinks that they've all just flipped their lids. But he still wants proof. So if Jesus wants me to believe in him, he needs to prove it to me. So many Catholics and so many so-called Christians go through life this same way, always wanting God to prove something to them, as though they are God. Typically, God resists the proud. But there are occasions when God shows infinite mercy. And indeed, this is one of those cases when the Christ shows infinite mercy. He could easily have dismissed Thomas, and Thomas could have been easily replaced, as Matthias would replace Judas. But instead, he works for Thomas's conversion, just like he did the Last Supper, at the last minute working for Judas's conversion. And Judas wouldn't do it. So the grace was operative for Judas, and Judas resisted. The grace is operative here for Thomas, but Thomas cooperates. Because once he sees the Christ, who passes through the locked door that week later, and remember, Thomas is there because he wants Christ to prove it. He's not there to worship his God. But he wasn't so far gone that he would be like Judas, who resists grace and leaves. Judas, the first Catholic to leave Mass early. The reality is that Thomas stays put. He stays put. And as the fathers teach, because of what Jesus says, even though Catholic art always has Thomas doing it, Thomas probably never touched the Christ, because that would have been an insult. To see Christ, to hear Christ, and Christ to say, "Touch the nail marks in my hands, touch my side." It would have been an affront for Thomas to actually do that. Instead, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And this is an example of what happens when God bestows you with so much mercy and you cooperate with grace, because this confession of faith is better than Peter's, when Peter says, under God's inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in answer to our question, "Who do people say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this was God the Father showing God the Son that Peter was to be the first pope. Think of what Thomas says under the inspiration of grace, "My Lord and my God." He's the first to establish that whole, in a most simple statement, the whole complex theology of the hypostatic union, that he is consubstantial with the Father. He is not the Son of God in the sense that he is a product removed from God, as a son is removed from his father with only half the genetics. He is of the same substance, different person, but he's co-eternal with the Father. He is God. So Thomas says, "My Lord and my God, my worldly master and teacher and the one I serve, and my eternal God and King," the one that Thomas eventually will die for as a martyr. He begins with great doubt, skepticism, and very prideful in his opinions. But our Lord has mercy on him, because he had already warned the apostles time and time again how scandalous the cross was going to be. Our Lord, as Paul tells us in the Hebrews, is, yes, truly God, but he's also truly man, so he's not so far removed from our human weakness that he just dismisses us for falling short. He shows great mercy because he was one of us, except, as Hebrews says, in all things but sin. So he did know the fatigue, he did know the hunger, he did know the thirst. And he knew what the apostles saw in the awful spectacle of his suffering and death on the cross. So he shows Thomas great mercy and inspires Thomas to live solely for Christ from that point on. Well, you and I have received so much more by virtue of the reality of the Blessed Sacrament. And we did not have to come to an awareness of who Christ was by virtue of the horror of the cross. So therefore, it should be easier for us. And indeed, the standard that we're going to be judged by is going to be different than Thomas's, because we don't see the horror of the cross. But nonetheless, the Lord is still merciful to us. The Lord still gives us the opportunity to cooperate with His grace, to come to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. In the end, the whole point of your Catholic life is summed up in those words of St. Thomas that some of you might utter when you see the elevation, because that was a traditional thing you did when the host is elevated after it's been consecrated. You would beat your breast and say, "My Lord and my God," three times, acknowledging who it is that you're seeing. But that's the point of your whole Catholic life, to live as though Christ is your Lord and your God. That your whole life points to Him. That everything you say, everything you do, whether it be at work or at play, whether it be in communicating or in just being in the silence, your life should permeate the life of Christ, who is your Lord, your Master, your Teacher, your King, but also your God. And people should be drawn to Christ to want to say, "My Lord and my God," because you give such an example of that truth. That's the point of a Catholic layman's life. Too many Catholics are part-time followers of Christ. Too many Catholics see Him as the part-time Lord, the part-time God, because they're not devoted to Him. They're more devoted to other things and other people. When you receive today, on Divine Mercy Sunday, the reality of the Blessed Sacrament, it's important for all of us that we know our weaknesses and we in the proper state to receive communion. But now is the time to take the Lord up on His mercy, as He showed to Thomas. Whatever doubts or fears we may have about ourselves, they can be alleviated by the grace God gives you in the Blessed Sacrament. Wherever you find yourself falling short of the kingdom, falling short of living a life that says Jesus is your Lord and God, now is the time to receive the graces to make that possible. It's truly an adventurous life to be a Catholic, not the bald-faced lie of a life that too many ex-Catholics communicate, who have chips on their shoulders as large as Texas, or even half-hearted Catholics who always still go in there with this attitude about the church and this attitude about God that is not one of wanting to know, but one of wanting to challenge. Well, this would be the day, if you were even a Catholic with that disposition, to receive the graces from the Merciful One and to be transformed by the Merciful One, so that you too, not only in word but in deed, say to the Christ, "My Lord and my God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.